Hallelujah. It's good to be saved, amen? Better than an alternative. And that's bad. Right? Hallelujah. Bunch of heartache, disappointment, no hope, just not sure. You're blaming everybody else. And thank God he is on high. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Getting my thing here to cooperate with me. And hallelujah. We're going to continue with authority tonight. And the reason we're continuing is because I think it's very important to understand, you know, the authority issue. We need to understand one thing is, you know, who's trying to take it from us and what we have. Because we can talk about, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm going to use my authority, but really what do we have? And, you know, because we see people like Sons of Sceva where they got out on a limb and it's like, you don't really have the authority, right? What happened? They got beat up and it didn't go well for them. But we being born again believers, we have the authority, don't we? And the authority was ours in the Garden of Eden. God gave Adam and Eve, he commissioned Adam, and he said, and I'm going to touch on base, we're going to move on, but it says the Lord placed in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, and it says, New Living Translation, Genesis 2:15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. Well, it's very specific. And then we see later on that in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent comes along and twists things around, doesn't it? Right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and he said, did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? That's not what he said, was it?
No.
No, it's not at all. And then we see here in verse 2, the woman even still messes it up, right? Why is that? Because she's not holding on to the word. She's not holding on to it, right? It's just like, you know, people that you talk to people, well, I don't know, it's somewhere in a good book. It's in there somewhere. Verse 2 in the third chapter, it says, but of course we may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of a garden that we are not allowed to eat. Well, very specifically, it's what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not just the one in the middle. It's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? And then she goes on and says, God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, or you will die. Well, that's, again, not what God said. He said, if you eat it, of course you're going to look at it, right? Of course you may, no, you can't even touch it. That's not what God said. See, they're not holding to what the word was originally. And then the serpent says, well, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, because God knows, and this is talking about verse 5 now, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Well, we read there previously in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, that it said what? We were made in God's image, right? We were made after his likeness. So we were already like God. No, we weren't God in the sense of exactly like God, because obviously we couldn't, you know, have as creative power as he did, or he does. But our words are still creative, right? We still have power in our words. He had power in his words. And we were already like God. We were already made in his image. So that's not true. And then it says, you will know both good and evil. Well, they already knew good. Right? The only thing that the devil was, again, he's just saying, really what he's saying is, you're going to expose evil and you're going to see evil. Do we need to see evil? No.
No.
We don't need evil in our life. So really, we were already like God, made in his image. There was so much goodness all around in the Garden of Eden. They already knew what goodness was. So the only new thing coming was evil. Suffering, heartache, death, sickness, disease eventually. And then we see there that later on, God shows up on the scene, and you know, he said, "Hey, what have you done, or what's going on?" Now, it doesn't mean that this caught God off guard and he had no idea what was going on. He knew what was going on. He wanted to hear their response. It's like little kids, you know, when you come home, or you know, you come in their room or something, everything's a mess. "Well, what happened here?" "I have no idea." "Well, it was clean before you got here, right? And this little tornado came in and messed everything up, right? Wasn't me." Okay, so that's what God's saying. He's like, "Okay, I want to hear from you." Well, that's when you come in, your kids, you're saying, "What happened here?" "He did it," right? That's what instantly happened. They started doing the finger point. That's what sin does, right? Nobody owns up to anything. That's why, because that's a sin nature. Want to blame people, want to do everything, right? Rather than saying, "Stop, God, I made a mistake here." It's like, "The serpent beguiled me. He deceived me. Made me eat," right? And then what did Adam do? "That woman." That's not going to win any popularity contests there, Adam. Okay, but it was like they kept pointing, right? Like, "Well, that woman you gave me," and then she said, "Well, it was the serpent," and it was just, we keep passing the buck, but all it came back to, you didn't do what God said, which was mean. Subdue it, right? Take authority over the garden, because really he was saying his snake's coming. And they dropped the ball. Well, and then last week again we talked about, just to kind of bring everybody up to speed here, God is not, why didn't God step in and stop it in the Garden of Eden? Why didn't he stop and go, "Okay, whoa, stop, hold it. Sir, remember, Eve, what I told you, this is it." No, because the authority was given to Adam and Eve. It was their job to stop the serpent. It wasn't God's job anymore. He created everything, and he gave them the job to do that, right? It's kind of like at home where, you know, we'll have the kids, or, you know, you have your kids do something. Okay, clean up all the dishes and put them in the dishwasher, right? And then everything gets screwed up. It's like, you had one job. Just one job. You know, it's like, take your plate, clean it up, and put it in the dishwasher. You know, it's like, we get it in the sink. It's like, just one job. That's all you had to do, was just put it in the dishwasher, right? I know it's like, it's hard to pull that thing open. It's just, I know. That's what God's probably thinking. He's like, you had one job. That's it. Just one job. And anyway, but you love kids. All right. God loves his kids. So, you know, he still loves us. So that's where we're at now, right? So we need authority. God gave Adam any of the authority. They dropped the ball. And that's where people will say, "Well, how come God doesn't do stuff now? And how come God doesn't step in?" Well, because if he gave man the authority back then and didn't step in, he's not going to step in now. Because that's where Jesus came in. He got back the authority, didn't he? He gave it to us that are born again believers. And then therefore he has given us those things, right? He has given us the authority to do it. Again, I talked about this, Brother Hagin talking about, I think it's in his book, but talking about the Lord appeared to him and there was an entity that was distracting and everything. Well, anyway, he got tired of it. He couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. At the end of it, he just commanded him to shut up, and he said he just dropped like a little whimpering dog. Anyway, then he asked the Lord, he's like, "How come you didn't do anything about that?" And he said, "Well, I couldn't do it." And Brother Hagin thought, okay, I didn't hear him right. Maybe I'm just not, whatever. And he said, "Lord, again, how come you didn't do it? How come you wouldn't do anything about it?" And he says, "I couldn't do anything." So about the third time, he said, "Lord," kind of got irritated. He says, "I could not do anything." And so the point was, he gave us the authority to take care of the devil. And I believe we're seeing many times where we're being just taken advantage of because we're not taking the authority we have as a born-again believer. And so that's why you'll have people all over the world, all over the place, blaming God, insurance companies. It's an act of God. It's this, it's that. It's not an act of God. Right, God's not out getting kicks off of, you know, tsunamis and drowning people. It's not God's will. Right, we know what God's will is when the Garden of Eden, and that's everything peaceful. We were getting along with animals, great. Everything was peaceful. There's no violence. There's no sickness. There's no disease. That's what God's will is. Amen. That we have an abundance supply, and that's why Jesus said there in John 10:10, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Right. God not only wants us to be taken care of, but he wants us to have more abundance. What is the thing that I want in my life more is that my kids go and go beyond me, right? They know so much more than I did at their age. You know, interesting thing is we'll sit around and talk about the word. And interesting, you know, we talk about the word around our house, and when I start talking about the word, they just like listen, because they want to hear it. Mm-hmm. They want to hear the word, right? And so, you know, we don't just talk about it here at church. We talk about it at home. We talk about it at night. How many of the God's Generals? Those are really good books for kids. We're going through those now again. But again, it's those things where we talk about it. Why? Because I want them to go beyond, have more revelation than I did. I remember Brother Hagin saying one time, he was talking and he said, and Jim Hockaday, when I was in prayer school with them years ago, but he would say, and I've heard him say too, he's like, I know all my kids go farther than I did. You know, I want them to have more revelation. I want them to have more things than I did, right? Because we should be able to build upon each other. And so, but anyway, it's not God's will. God's not getting kicks out of, seeing people, in all these catastrophes. It's not the will of God, is it? But, we talk about these things, and again, many people outside of this building, they think it's God's will. You know, everything is God's will. Well, you can't, where the will of God is known, faith begins where the will of God is known. That is where the will of God is, and that's where faith begins. Why do you say that? Because you have to have faith to believe in somebody. And so, if I don't have faith, we can substitute, let's just say trust, your trust in someone or faith in someone, your belief system in someone, it only begins where you have knowledge or wisdom in, right? If again, like I've said, if we go out here afterwards and you go out to eat somewhere, the person I sit next to, I have no confidence that they're going to buy me a meal, they're going to take care of me, because I don't know them. And so I don't have faith in that person, not that they're not a good person, but for me, see, I don't live with that person. I don't know these people, a complete stranger. They may be a great person, have finances, but my faith ends because I don't have knowledge of. And so the more we understand about God, the more we understand these things, right? John chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. John 5, 16 through 18. This is very interesting here. Jesus' revelation of who God was very controversial. Very controversial. Well, and then but he got results though too, right? Yeah. And he was obviously different. He was a Emmanuel, God with us, right? That's the name. He is God with us. But John chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. Oh, that's really nice, isn't it? So all the preachers are out there and the leaders are, harassing him. But Jesus replied, my Father, everybody say my Father. My Father, right. My Father is always working and so am I. Well, back then they would use what? Yahweh, or even sometimes they couldn't even say that because it was so holy, right? And they would leave, often they would leave vowels out because they just felt like it was too holy. I couldn't even say his word. Couldn't do it, right? So to them it was God, right? And whatever vernacular they used. But Jesus went over and said, he's my Father. Well, that offended them. And so the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. Now, isn't that just great? They're just a bunch of sweet people, aren't they? And that's what religion does to you. For he not only broke the Sabbath, but he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. I'm sorry, I thought Adam was the son of God. Did I miss something in that whole thing? Oh, that was in the Pentateuch, right. Oh, they had that back then. That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. So they already had the understanding, right? It was okay for Adam to be the son of God, but not for you and I. Right? I'm sorry, did aliens come down and create us? But God created Adam, but then aliens or somebody weird thing happened? No, he did. We came from Adam and Eve, didn't we? Hello? Right? So aren't we a descendant of Isaiah 14, 9 through 17? I want to kind of go a little bit here. Talking about who is after our authority. And often what the motive is. Now, there's other scriptures in regards to this too, but this is one of the ones I think that's paramount. But it says Isaiah 14, 9, we'll start in verse 9. It says, hell from beneath, and kind of stay with me here, but this is about Lucifer and him. But it says, hell from beneath is moved from thee to meet thee at thy coming. This is King James, so it's a little bit, stay with me here. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Okay? Verse 10. All they shall speak unto thee, is that the one that became weak as we? Are you become like us? He's going to tell you here in a second. Your pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of your boils. The worms is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Here we go. How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Here we go. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Right? So he knew, I mean, even as psychotic as he is, he knew he couldn't. But he wanted to be like the Most High. Let me ask you something in Genesis 1. Who's like the Most High? Who wanted to be like the Most High? Lucifer. So guess what? We had a position as with the Most High, right? Being sons and daughters, right? Being created in His image. And then guess who wants our position? Lucifer. That's why He hates us so much, right? Yes, we are His creation, and God hates it. Lucifer hates, it's just Satan, hates God's creation. But here's what He wanted. So we were created, who is created in His image? We are. Who is seated at the right hand of God?
We are.
First, Jesus, right? So it says Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus got that, repositioned ourselves, right? Repositioned Himself next to the throne, which is what? Like the Most High. So He wanted the position. And then we see here in Romans 8:17, and if children, then joint heirs, heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. Who's that? You and I, if we're born again. If so, that we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. So we are now joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? Everything Jesus accomplished at the cross, we now take advantage of, right? So He got back our authority that we lost in the Garden of Eden. He seated us where Lucifer wanted to be, which is what? He wanted to be like the Most High. We are made in God's image and after His likeness. He will never be made after God's image and likeness. He will never have a position like that, right? Now, it's not because we're so wonderful and cute and awesome. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. He has positioned us in a place where Lucifer wants to be. You know what? It drives him nuts when we take our authority. Angers him, right? Because it's what he wants. He wants to be like the Most High. Well, Jesus brought back the authority for us when He died on the cross. We'll talk more about it here in the weeks to come. That's why the enemy is after you so much, because he wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be seated in the heavenly places where you and I are at, in the spirit realm with Christ. That's why he's so angry and he hates you, because we have something that he will never have. And we get to rub it in his face too. Isn't that great? We get to rub it in his face. You know, I like Brother Hagin. I never heard of other ministers, but Brother Hagin would always just, I remember just listening to Brother Hagin or live and stuff, and he'd just go, oh, just laugh at the devil, right? Loved it. Most ministers are just scared of the devil. But we have authority over the devil, don't we, right? We're positioned in a place that he only dreams about, he has lusted for, he has wanted over the millennials, and we have what he wants, right? That's why he's always trying to get Christians to step back, number one, to question their sonship or daughterhood with God. Always trying to get you to question his will. Always trying to, why? Because he's trying to downplay your authority the whole time. Right? Because if you understand your authority, he is defeated. He's done. Right? Because he can't do this. It's like the little bully on the playground. I remember when I was a kid, and the girls say this guy, this bully tried to mess with me, and he had all the kids bullied. I mean, I was just everybody convinced he was so bad, so tough, and everything. I was in grade school, and caused a lot of problems. And so he kind of messed with me, and this is the back in the day when, you know, you just take it out on the playground, and nobody cared. You know, it was old school. Right? So it's incredible how he was messing with me. And I just let him have it that day on the school ground. And the principal, and I ended up with a bloody nose. The principal, I came into the principal. The principal winked at me. He's like, you can go back to class, Brent. Goodbye. Right? Because what happened? Because the jig was up.
Yep.
Right? I'm not promoting violence. All right. But my point is this. When you stand up to the bully, because what would happen? There was nothing. It was all just verbal, wasn't it? You need to do this for me. You need to do this for me. And the intimidation. But when we take our authority against the enemy with the power, right? The authority that God has given us through Jesus, now we can see some things, right?
Right.
You know, I've known people that, you know, often, for example, like anxiety, you know, I've known people that they have anxiety, and they take authority over that, right? Well, what is that? What does authority mean? One type, and again, I'm just barely scratching the surface here. When I'm talking about things, but for example, when you have the enemy come at you, you tell the, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. We have authority over the enemy. He has no right, no legal right, nothing in your life whatsoever, whether that's sickness, disease, lack anything in your life, you have authority over him. Well, it's also just like the armor of God in Ephesians 6 chapter, right? It's something we have to put on. But our authority just doesn't mean we say one time and we leave and that's all done. No, the enemy comes back and he comes back and he comes back and he comes back. And we're going to stand our ground. And I've noticed, too, that the devil, his job is to try to wear you out. And Adrian and I were just talking about this the other night, last night, talking about the enemy trying to wear people out. But, you know, we can wear him out, too. Ephesians 1:3. Close here in just a minute. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So we got to understand, number one, God gave us authority in the Garden of Eden, gave it to mankind, and he said, you've already made me in my likeness in my image. I give you authority. Take authority over this, and don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? The devil comes, lies. And again, the devil is always going to, you know, he's another devil and the works of the flesh and everything. And this is what I just... For example, you know that something's evil and it's propaganda. For example, like in the school systems promoting all this perversion, they always promote it as it's wonderful, it's great, but there's never any consequences involved. You ever notice that? The devil always promotes things, but there's never any consequences, any of this. Like all of these lifestyles they talk about, I got in one time and did some pretty in-depth research, government websites, right? Talking about all of the psychological problems, all the physical problems, everything that comes as a result of this. So you know when there's always a positive but never a negative. Or, and God always brings, says, okay, this is where it is, but if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you, right? Deuteronomy talks about the blessings and the curses, right? The blessings are really good, but there's a lot of scriptures on the curses, right? Because God's saying, hey, I want you to follow me. This is a good thing. But if you don't, this is the result. It's not good. And the devil's all about, this is fun. This is wonderful. There are no consequences. Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in high and heavenly places in Christ. That is authority also. All blessings. Ephesians is really great talking about authority. Read the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:6 says, and he has raised us up together and made us what? Sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We are now joined as with Jesus, aren't we? He has raised us up. Can I just stop here as we kind of wrap things up here in just a minute? I want to ask you something. Does, for a king to exercise his authority, he needs to understand his position first, right? Can you imagine somebody that's back in the day, with kingdoms, a commoner would come up and start commanding people to do things? Wait a minute, he doesn't have it. Oh, let me ask you this too. Does a king have authority when he's depressed? Does a king have authority when he doesn't feel like it? Does a king have authority when he's discouraged? So then that leads me to believe authority has nothing to do with feelings, does it? Authority has nothing to do with where even our thought process is, right? I mean, a king can wake up one day and go, I just don't feel like a king. I just don't feel powerful. I just don't feel this way. Authority has nothing to do with that, does it? Right? I mean, can you imagine going to work and having a manager, having a supervisor or someone you report to, and then come to you and say, I just don't feel like I'm a boss today. You say, okay, I got this job done. Now what do you want me to do next? I don't know. I just don't feel like leading today. Now I've been around bosses where they're not leading anything. It's like, we're out to lunch today. But see, authority doesn't have anything to do with your feelings, right? And nothing to do with your feelings. I mean, you don't have to feel like you're powerful and have all this authority. You don't have to. I mean, again, it has nothing to do with feelings. That's where religious folks get in. Well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like I have authority. I don't feel this. I don't feel this. I don't feel this, right? Go eat ice cream, and then you'll feel something, right? Hello? But authority doesn't have anything to do with feeling. It's about decision. About deciding to do something, deciding to walk into something that, whether you feel it or not, doesn't. I mean, I can imagine there have been days when Jesus walked the earth and didn't feel like the Son of God, right? I guarantee it, right? Because it says he experienced everything that we experience here on earth. Romans 8:29. We'll kind of close with this. I hope I'm not boring you. You all okay? All right. Romans 8:29, and it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now I want to ask you. Now, one time I was in church, and the whole predestined, they pointed to this in Colossians and some other scriptures. Well, predestinate. We're all predestinated to be, God knows he's predestined some to be born again and some not. No, he's predestined every person to know him, right? This is where we kind of lose our brains on. Because then John 3:16 says, for God so loved only those predestinated, right? Hello? First Timothy says, that all men come to the knowledge. No, he didn't say only the predestinated. No, he says all come to the knowledge of God, right? All means all. Remember that little commercial little kid? A-L-L. All. All still means all. And so, but what it does mean is God has laid out a plan, a predestined plan for every person to know him and to have this authority and to walk in him and to have salvation and to have blessings and overtake the enemy, doesn't it? Yeah. It says, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So what it means is he has predestined all of us to come up to the level of Jesus. Now, is everybody going to do that? No. But that's God's plan. I mean, his plan was also that, you know, Adam and Eve never fell. I always think back, I'm like, you know what? Probably what had happened is Adam and Eve would have done everything great, and then I would have showed up and screwed everything up for everybody. You know, you ever notice that? You ever think about that sometimes too? It's like, oh, everything's just great, and then all of a sudden, you know, Brent shows up on the scene and screws it all up for everybody. You know? Can you imagine that? The whole planet's all, and then I'm the guy that messes it up, and oops. Whoops. But it would have happened at some point, right? I mean, somebody would have done it, but thank God for Jesus. And then Luke 3:38, and it says, and I'll read this quick, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And here we got the religious folks that are just steaming mad that how dare Jesus call himself the son of God. Anything that has to do with relationship, close with God, you know, outside of the religious box, the religious folks lose their loving mind over. I've been around these folks since I was a kid, and they go absolutely ballistic if you don't fit into their little circle, their little square, right? Now, we need to live righteous, holy lives. We're not saying that. We're not saying, oh, anything's wrong. Oh, this is wonderful, great, awesome. No, because we need to conform to, like we just said, the image of Christ, which means, you know, we strive more for holiness. We strive more for live a sanctified life. We walk in the righteousness we're already given. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's righteousness, holiness, and sanctification. Righteousness that's already been given to us. It's a position Christ has conquered and given us, right? Holiness just means a separation. Sanctification means a process that we go through to you know, purify ourselves through the Word and through His Spirit. And we can do these things. But the religious folks, they get absolutely nuts when they say something, and instead of being led by the Spirit, letting God do it, it's like, well, this is our way, we've got it figured out. Well, that's already your first red flag, right? Well, you can't do that, you know. Well, you can't do this. So to understand authority, we understand a relationship, we understand what's already accomplished for us, we got to understand the revelation that we are joiners with Jesus and exercising authority and walking in Him, the in Him. That's good. We want to read in Him scriptures. You can go online and there's Bible Gateway and other tools too. You can use, put in Him, look up all, or Google, or DuckDuckGo, excuse me, all the in Him scriptures. You know, who knows what Google will tell you, right? I mean, crazy stuff out there. But yeah, in Him, get the revelation of that. And when you understand that the and this is where people get off, they'll say things like, well, you're just, this is something we got to be careful of, when you command things, it's not because of what I do, but it's the voice behind me. It's the power and authority of Christ, not anything special about me. That's where people get the mistake. They think that we're in arrogance or we're in error. No, it's not that we're in arrogance or in error. If me and myself, I'm trying to do things on my own flesh, yeah, that's wrong. If I think that I'm, you know, equal to God and I'm going to do the exact same things God does, or, you know, I'm going to create planets and do, now, that's craziness. We know that. But it's because of the power and the anointing that God has given me that I'm going to walk in. And in Him, that it's Christ's power working through me, speaking through me. It's God's anointing, right? That I'm walking in. That's where we're going to see the impact. Not, I'm going to heal this person. Well, you're already in error already because you're not going to do anything. I can't heal a gnat's wing. I can't do anything. But it's Christ's power, his stripes, that I'm able to do anything, right? Through me. So that's where, you know, people will get an error. Well, I have this power. I have this. No, you don't have anything. No. I'm not anything. None of us are anything. It's all about Jesus. It's his healing power, his anointing, his love, his grace, you know, his authority that he's given us. And so, you know, where I remember one time I was in Damata, and which is a school in Tulsa, and one of the guys was the pastors there used to do missions in Ukraine, and he said, talking about just getting wacko weird, and he said, one of the guys was there, and he says, I am in Christ. I am not standing here. And he says, I just reached over and pinched him in the stomach, and he went, ow, why'd you do that? And he goes, because you're here. People just get over religious, right? And like Brother Higgins always used to say, he's like, you know, sometimes we're too spiritual, we're not really good. But you know, because we have to deal with people, don't we? And we have to connect with them. So, you know, we still love people, and you know, we're not going to float around on clouds and, you know, I'm going to be led today. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to walk out in the street. It's like, well, you're going to get hit, right? Because he gave us eyes. He gave us a brain. We can look. We can see. We got, you know, function. There's things that we need to do. But when we get in the spirit realm with Christ, we mean business, right? We can stand our authority. We can command the enemy. We'll talk more about it in the weeks to come. Father, we thank you so much for these wonderful people, Lord. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your might, your grace, your ability to do things. We thank you that you positioned us and seated us right hand of the Father because of what you've done at the cross. Because of that, we can receive all the blessings and step over into your goodness because of your sacrifice for us, Lord God. And we thank you that we glorify you in your name. Yeah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Well, everybody have a great week. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Good Friday and Easter coming up. Yep. Excited.